Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors Regular Board Meeting. At this time, if you'll all rise and do in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. Okay, at this time we'll have public comments. Individual public comments are limited to a 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Is there any public comment? All right, no public comment, we'll close. Sorry. Any public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment at this time and we'll move on to item C, area agency reports. Sheriff's Office report, please.
Good afternoon, guys. All right, calls for service for the month of July, we had 522 and 52 reports taken. Just a tidbit information, for the whole month of July, I counted about 29 to 30 calls that came in with complaints on fireworks. On July 4th itself, I counted about 19 of them for that particular night. Looking over the crime stats here, you probably heard or read in the paper about one of the incidents where we had a little bit of some hollow birds over the night. So I kind of threw that out there. We were lucky enough to get a picture of the guy trying to attempt to use an ATM card at one of the local stores, Safeway. So with that photo, we were able to put it out, and within literally minutes, people were emailing and we got calls and we identified who the person was. Good information on that. Finding out who he was, the officers did some more canvassing, located some video from homeowners. I mean, the community came together on this. We were able to identify the car too, found where this individual was living, which was in Antioch. We conducted a search of the residence, recovered a bunch of stolen property from other incidences throughout County Prosper County, and some of the items that were also stolen out of this area too. And as far as I know, he's still gone, right?
Yeah, we haven't found him. Yeah, but there's a warrant out for his arrest.
So,
yeah.
So obviously, there's goes both ways. You know, we find out who he is, but he also knows now. So, and they pick up. So, with that, I can't. Kudos for everyone on helping out with that. And I can't stress out enough, it takes the community to help us to get these guys. And it just played out perfectly for us. I think it worked out really good. Looking at anything else here, we did have 3 residential burglars for the month. And one incident we had where an individual during the daytime, it was about noontime, heard somebody knocking on his door, but he didn't respond or didn't answer the door. Thinking the guy that person would just go away. Next thing you know, a few minutes later, he heard a loud banging or crashing noise. Apparently, somebody kicked in the side door, if I'm not mistaken, of the residence. So he peeks his head, looks in the hallway, and he sees that black male with gloves on. That's the best description he gave us. The guy sees him, takes off the rifle. So with these residential works here, in that incident, that tells me that somebody's going around knocking on doors during the day, seeing who's home, who's not home. If they're not home, they'll kick in. That's how some of these, two of these were forced entry. One was a backslider and one was a side door to the laundry room, made entry that way. My best advice is if you've got people knocking on your door, trying to sell stuff, or just knocking on your door, you know, don't be afraid to respond. You don't have to open the front door, but at least let them know that you're home. And if it's some suspicious, hey, does Bobby Sue live here, or whatever the case may be, don't be afraid to give us a call. I'll just report that individual description. So that way we get our lawsuit out there. At least I ID this person. If he's out there legitimately for a business or something, that's what the officers are going to check on. And if not, then we'll at least know who this person is at what time frame he was out there. So that's the advice I can give you on that. Other than that, 4th of July, I know it's an issue, and I'm going to just say this. We tried our best. That night was a little crazy for us because we did have a shooting that kind of took the officers away. Somebody was shot in the gut, which took the guys kind of had to respond to that because now we had a suspect. We had attempted. Well, it wasn't attempted. It was a shooting. And then by the time we had dealing with that, I think it was within an hour, hour and a half into that, we found that we had another call that we had to deal with on, it was in Marsh Creek Road with a dead body. So that really took all our resources out of the area. In fact, we, the sergeant then had to call in the special J team unit from the Sheriff's Department in to handle the calls for that night. That's how backed up we were that night. So it's hit and miss with us. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. National night out last night, good example. I was able to round up about six guys to come in, you know, to go around and try to hit the streets that we did have, that we had national night barbecue stuff. And a perfect example, we did the first one, it was great, we had everyone there. The second one, we ended up losing two cars, but every time we went to the next one, we ended up losing bodies because of the calls that were coming in. But we try our best to do what we can. So, with that said, is there any questions?
Thanks, Tom. All right, moving on. Let's see. CHP, please. Let's see. East Contra Costa Fire Protection District report.
Excuse me, Board. 4th of July was very busy for the district. Total of 586 calls. Our response times are creeping up as we drop down to the three stations. 8 minutes and 19 seconds. In the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were a total of 78 calls, about 13% of all the calls we ran for the month, with an average response time of 11 minutes and 38 seconds. We continue to rely on auto aid and mutual aid to balance our resources out. We used Contra Costa Fire 56 times in the month of July, with them sending us a total of 79 engines. We did assist them 33 times with 37 engines. Just to kind of give you a taste of what the month was like, we responded to a total of 13 structure fires, 24 vegetation fires, 22 vehicle accidents, and 8 vehicle accidents with some kind of disentanglement. We ended up also requesting mutual aids from outside resources a total of 6 times. Most of those were on vegetation fires on the outer end of the district. Continued to operate with a total of 34 personnel to run our three shifts in 24/7 without a goal for any questions.
Director Perez, any questions?
No. Yeah, we're fine.
Any comments, questions?
Heard rumor discussion that the station 59 might resurface itself in a discussion of closure. Do you have any information on that you can share with us?
There is a report due back to the board from an ad hoc committee that was set up last year with our battalion chiefs and firefighters working on that. The battalion chief that's responsible for that report was been on vacation, he's back to work now. I have a meeting with him on Friday to find out where they are with the report. I personally don't believe we can get that report back to the board until probably in October meeting. So it's probably still a couple months out. As far as closing the Discovery Bay station, that would not be my recommendation. I don't know if the board will be addressing that subject or not.
On the analysis that's being done, that is that county staff or is that union personnel or
it's our district staff. It's a combination of our operations chief along with our personnel, station personnel doing the work. You know, as you can see in your report, when you look at the total roles, that you know our other two stations are extremely busy. And even though you're seeing the Discovery Bay engine pick up about 16% of that total role, that doesn't mean they're sitting in quarters and using today as an example. They had a 3-alarm fire in Antioch. Two of our engines got tagged on that third alarm to assist them. Discovery Bay engine then moves into the center of the district or into Broadway. It handled two calls for that hour and 15 minutes while those other two engines were available. So even though in any of the engines are housed in a certain community, it doesn't mean that's where they're running all their flights.
During that hour and a half, so 2 hour period, they were out of the area, so our response time if there was something here would have been much longer than normal.
Or the response time in Oakley or Bethel Island or anywhere else, because basically that was the only engine in the Far East County, probably covering most of East Danny. You know, and with vegetation season being the way it is, and you know, some of the roadside fires we have, you know, the fire that we had off of Clifton Court, you know, is an example where, you know, a small roadside fire grabs 50 acres in about 45 minutes and, you know, goes wind driven right into an RV parking area. There was one of the times where we ended up using mutual aid resources to just try to push the fire from out of those trailers.
Would we get a copy of the report that's coming up year or
more? It'll, anything that comes out will be a public document, so it'll be available in a board packet, and we'll end up, like we did last time, having it on our website. So, thank you.
All right, Chief, thank you for your service.
Okay.
Thanks, Chief.
Thanks.
All right, Supervisor Murray Pipa, District 3 report.
Good evening, board members. First, Supervisor has District 3 openings for committees and commissions. We have first 5 Children and Families Commission, the Alcohol and Other Drugs Advisory Board, Economic Opportunity Council, Arts and Culture Commission, and the Countywide Bicycle Committee. So if anyone's interested, they can contact our office for applications. Also, the governor's revised tunnel plan released for public comment, and the Bureau of Reclamation and the California Department of Water Resources have released a joint, partially recirculated draft environmental impact statement on the BDCP, now known as the California Water Fix, for public review. And written comments are due by the close of business on Monday, August 31st. Also, I believe Alicia mentioned this to you last month, but our office is hosting a pharmaceutical bin, so any unused, unwanted, over-the-counter prescriptions that you have that you want to dispose of, rather than flushing them down the toilet or putting them in the garbage, please bring them to our office free of charge, and we will dispose of them properly. And then last but not least, the Delta Veterans Group is hosting Stand Down on the Delta for the homeless veterans in our county. It's September 11th through 14th, and they're looking for volunteers and financial contributions, and I forgot the flyers, but if you're interested, call the office. We can get you more information.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much. All right, moving on to item E1, record retention review. I'm sorry, excuse me, go back to item D, committee and liaison report. So we have transplant here?
No.
County Planning Commission report?
I heard some rumors about a tobacco store, cigarette store going into the shopping center at Safeway.
No, they opened one across the street. It's already open.
Oh, I thought the Safeway shopping center was having a smoke shop.
Okay.
All right. Code enforcement.
I had a code enforcement meeting last week at Supervisor Pipa's office. It was generally the same hit list of items, boats and driveways and trailers and driveways, that sort of thing. They are taking a look at a ice cream truck, I believe, over on the double point. They're looking into that. And other than that, it's just they're continuing issues that they have with non-compliant residents that are doing building without permits and that sort of thing. So it was, like I say, it was just a general update of what's been going on.
Is the air line there?
It's struggling.
All right. Thanks for the update.
It was out a week ago completely.
Any special districts reports?
Yeah. I attended the Contra Special District Association on the 20th. There was a vote for a Lapso representative, which we had voted on, so I cast that vote and he was elected. There was a presentation by Vector Control, which was pretty informative, and I made a note here that do we have or can we take a look at putting on a link on our website to their website. They have an issue right now with West Nile virus. They did have reported dead bird and poultry. So there's some concern about that. And I think it would be informative to the community if we have that availability, if we have that option. Thank you.
Well, that's a wonderful segue. President Steele, if I may, for one moment.
Okay,
thank you.
Yes, we can certainly add that to the website. In fact, we're in regular contact with Vector Control. And as you mentioned, the website, I just want to—it's up. It's not live yet. It'll be going live hopefully tonight, sometime tomorrow, possibly. So those of you in the audience, you're seeing it for the very first time. It's a new website we've been working on. This is just a photo gallery, and so it's much more user friendly. Our web address still remains the same, todb.ca.gov. Thank you.
Great, thanks for that update. We'll move on to item E, presentations. Item one, record retention review.
As Sue comes to the podium, Sue, as you know, is our executive assistant at the office, and she, Carol, as well as a temporary employee by Kelly, have been working on the records retention program that the board approved about a year or so ago. You remember the pictures of all the boxes stored. So Sue's just going to give you a little brief update on where we are with that.
And since record retention is such an exciting topic, ribbon, I brought no energy food for you. And the wrapper is I titled it Free to Files, because when our vendor came to help us show us how to do the procedures, the name of the training was Free to Files. So she came up, she's met with our staff, and we've gotten our instructions on how to process the paperwork. We're going according to the record retention schedule that were approved at the board meeting last November with resolution number 2014-26. And so far we started with the town's oldest records first, so it moved along kind of quickly in the beginning, because some of the records are already have met that deadline. And so now we're starting to list documents for the files that are ready for your approval. So at a future board meeting, you'll get a listing of documents that are waiting for your approval so that we can just write them. And then we'll have a second form filled out with documents recorded and their destruction date coming. And then we'll just keep looking at the records when the destruction date comes up. So far in the booster building, you might remember the pictures that we showed you last year. We've got two complete shelves that have been reviewed, one of which is ready to be destroyed.
The reason why I wanted to have Sue come in is because on an agenda coming before you pretty soon is going to be a consent item, which will be new to you, which will be the destruction of records that you have previously approved to be destroyed. And so that has to receive board approval before we can do that. So those will start coming to you pretty regularly, probably a couple times a year from here on out.
Can you just refresh us again with the content of those records are just standard invoice receipt stuff?
It's every district record. There are some that are required to be maintained. There's some that are required to be kept. And some, but there's probably a 5 to 6 page schedule of the different types of records and when they're how long we have to keep them for, when we can dispose of them, and that sort of thing.
Are they records pertaining to water quality?
I don't have the schedule in front of me. Sorry.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. All right, let's move on to item E2 capital improvement program update.
As Greg comes up, he's going to give you a little update on where we are with our projects and our future projects.
Hi, Gregory Harris, district engineer. So just a couple updates on capital projects that are going on inside the district. The last bond project, last two bond projects are in the final throes of completion, as well as seven. And the secondary improvements project is in our online thing. Well, seven has gone through startup, and they're debugging little skate issues, but in general, the well is operational. And there's some closeout items, but it's basically 95% there. They're finishing it off. Secondary improvements project is scheduled for a startup beginning at the end of August, and it will probably go into September before that job is complete. And then that will close out the bond items in terms of the whole list of bond items that started 3 years ago. Remaining projects that we're working on for capital improvements include the skate upgrades. So you may recall you guys authorized the skate improvement, I think, in March or April this year. And that contract has been ongoing. They'll be working on startup on that project in August and finishing in September for that. We also have the radio system upgrades. Remember, we're not replacing the whole radio system, can't afford that. We're putting a new radio backbone in, Ethernet-based backbone. The antenna base is in at plant one. The radio antennas can go up, and then we're going to start adding some of the backbone facilities to connect to that radio system. And that work's also taking place in August and September. So those big projects are going on. Pump Station G has previous authorized by the board to take place. Our new control panel is going to show up, guess when, August. And we'll be bringing an action to you. We're going to be getting some quotes from contractors, electrical contractors, to install that equipment. So we'll be bringing forth action to you on that in August. And then the RAS pump station panel was a deal we worked out with Veolia to reuse a panel that had previously been damaged. They repaired it. And we'll also have some bids being from electrical contractors to install that panel. That'll be coming forth to you guys in August as well. That's all the stuff that's happening this summer. And then, of course, you know, the filter project has been completed. We're working on some negotiations with the regional board. They're on vacation. Not like they got back just before then, but they're still on vacation now. And, you guys are working on your financing for those projects. That's the update. Any questions?
Not for me.
Okay.
I know that we have the new tower, so our communications can be improved. And I know there's some transportation and minor stuff. When do you think that tower will actually go?
It is scheduled, well, right now, the replacement parts are arriving tomorrow. They got scheduled training. So they're trying to schedule for the week of August 17th. That's the preferred date that we're trying to get going. If that doesn't happen, it'll happen the following week. So that'll be going up. Yeah. So August is really got a lot of activity occurring. And of course, we'll be coming forth with some quotes to get some of these control panels installed as such as well.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much for coming. We'll move on to the consent calendar.
Can I ask a question?
I'm fine with it.
The American Heroes
Banners, when are we getting?
You're asking the wrong part of the foundation for that.
I know you're talking right now.
We're hoping to put those up upon my return, so hopefully the first week of September, and they'll be up for the entire month. That's our goal.
Okay. Excellent.
Move approval.
Second. Third.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Move on to item G, business and action items. Item one, proposed skateboard, general skate park. General manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. On July the 17th, I received a letter from the president of the Discovery Bay Community Foundation that's attached to your agenda packet this evening, requesting the board to consider the consideration of a skate park here at the community center. The letter was vague in its specifics in terms of what they would be looking for, but it appears to me this evening they're here to tell you what they would be looking to do. So I spoke with the committee members for the recreation, both Director President Peace and President Steele and Director Peace, and made the decision to move the item to tonight's agenda. So with that, seeking input from the board and from the public.
I have a question. I'd like to hear from the public.
I moved here in 97, and then about 2002 or so, there was a lot of talk in the community about when we're going to get a community center, when we're going to have a skateboard park. That was the talk of the town for a long, long time, and finally a couple of years ago, obviously, we got the skateboard park. Hopefully we can have some more.
Got the community center.
What happened?
You got the community center, not the skateboard park.
No, that's correct.
That's
correct.
We're riding rails.
And hopefully we can get more kids to start using the community center. It's more of a teams, right? Keep them off the street, keep them out from across over here where they do whatever they do and behind Safeway and everything else and find a safe refugee for our children. One of our goals is to start a teen outreach program, which we have started. We're working with the Byron School District, we're working with Brentwood Powell, we're working with our Sheriff's Department, they left, Contra Costa Sheriff's Department, and we're also working with our community center. So, and we're actually gonna start rolling out a lot of that stuff tomorrow at Excelsior, we're having back to school night. So we are trying to promote as much teen outreach as we possibly can, because that's one of our committees. Over a year ago, we started really looking at where we can put a skateboard park, what we can do with a skateboard park. If you recall from my meeting here with you guys a few months ago, that's one of our committees. So the committee has been actively looking at all that kind of stuff. We have visited a number of skateboard parks all over the Bay Area. So what we're doing here tonight is we're basically just coming to you to ask if your committee will help us work with our committee to find a suitable location for a skateboard park here in town. The research that we have done so far, it makes a lot more sense to have a skateboard park here at the community center because it's more of a safe haven instead of having it at one of the other parks where it can be destroyed and kids can hang out and loiter and everything else. So that's basically all we're doing here tonight is just asking if we have your support to start looking at having a skateboard park. Obviously, there's a lot of research that has to be done, where it's gonna go, where it makes sense, where the money's gonna come from, insurance. I could go on and on with construction and everything else. But again, all we're really looking for is to get your support to try to find a safe haven for our children to have more activities and where we can put a skateboard park. I got a letter here from Debbie Burnett. She was unable to make it because she had a previous engagement. Debbie Burnett is our superintendent of schools. There is research supporting the effect of after-school and weekend activities for children. The research addresses self-esteem, respectability, very importantly, keeps the children out of trouble. For these reasons, I strongly support the building of a skateboard park in Discovery Bay. There are very few activities for students to attend in Discovery Bay, and this would be a safe way for the students to exercise and express themselves in a healthy way. Kelly Basmajian was going to speak for a little bit, but she had a meeting at 7:30 and she wasn't gonna quite make it. We actually had another guest that was wanting to say a couple of words. Jeff Altman, who is the president of Brentwood Powell, who is working with us in our teen outreach program. So I think there's a couple other guests right here, maybe just two or three that might wanna just say a couple of words. After they're done, I'll gladly come back up and answer any questions that you have. All right? Thank you very much. Any public comment?
Hi, my name is Gavin Ross. I've been a resident since birth, so I think Jen, about 7 years. growing up, there really wasn't too much to do. Remained here because I loved how close it is to everything, to the city, to Sacramento. You name it, it's nearby, you can go in the water. But growing up, it was a drag. You had to get your parents to take you somewhere, which doesn't always work out as I've gotten older and seeing. And it would be great just to have something for like my little brother and other kids to do. The skateboard park was something we always really looked forward to and kept on thinking it might happen, but it beat my generation. But I would love to see it for Discovery Bay because it would be a great thing for kids to be able to do. And that's all I have to say.
Any other public comment?
I feel like there should be a skate park because all the other skate parks are either too far, or the one in Antioch is not in the best area, and other skate parks don't allow every type of thing to ride.
Yeah, like you were saying, I feel that all things should, if the skate park is made, it would please a lot of people, and it's just some of the areas that we go to can be a little bad, and sometimes the closest one is usually at the Antioch skate park. Last time I went there, the first thing I saw was cop pulling up, which isn't really the best sign, but
good job, guys. Well done. Well said. Good job. Well done.
Hi, I'm Chaz Ross. I've been on this committee now for over 30 years. I used to work for Hoffman. I have heard about a skateboard park since 1985. I only want to say one thing. I've seen committee after committee, and it's never, no one's really gotten behind it. And with my oldest son, Skylar, now with my youngest, it would be really cool to have them someplace close to home, in a community, especially something like this where we can really watch over it, make sure they're guaranteed a safe payment. And we have so many people behind this, the schools, principals, there's so many here. And there's other, all the other cities around here, Livermore, some of the bigger, they all have it. And it works. And I think that us, we want to put something small, it's not going to be huge, but it's going to be something we can afford, but it is a place where they can go to. And I would love to see in my lifetime, before my son has been here for 30 years, to see something happen for the kids. And this is about the kids, not about anything else. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
My name is Todd. I've been a skater most of my life. I still do skateboard. When I was younger, I wasn't necessarily into team sports. It's not like me, you have team shorts. What else do you do? A skateboard park. And I grew up in Antioch. Never happened until like beyond my generation. But just for those kids that are into team sports, it would be good for them to have a creative outlet, whether it's instead of going to video games or being athletic, being creative, they're standing around watching people or encouraging each other. And it's kind of an odd team of people that aren't competing against each other, they're working together, and they help me tremendously growing up. I'd just like to see it for the kids in this community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Just one more thing, failed to mention. In about a week's time, we've got about 150 signatures. If you're asking if there's a need, we got about 150 signatures in about a week. People that you know are really excited about it. So, if you guys have any questions, I can answer any questions, or if you want to chit chat amongst yourselves, have at it.
All right.
Yeah. No, I don't have any questions for. You, Jim. Thank you very much for presenting information. And obviously, Chaz is much older than I am because I only moved out here, 21 years ago, or maybe I was older when I moved out here. I'm not sure. But I will say that. In the 21 years I've been out here, for the first, 15 years, we talked about getting community center here, and it just didn't happen. It didn't happen. We tried to make it happen, and it finally happened. So things that we don't expect to happen can happen. As connected to some of the original drawings for the community center that were originally scheduled for over here, there was a skate park word park attached to some of those drawings that I believe that the Lions Club had put together at one point. I think that it's a, I would encourage our community center committee to look into working together with the community foundation, and at least I would give my support to having them move forward with some ideas, some options, how to fund it, how to sustain it, all these things that they know they need to do, and work together with at least with my support in moving forward to seeing if this is going to be a possibility or not. We didn't think this was going to be possible, and we got it. So, you know, who knows? Let's move forward.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to a skateboard park, but I have to take a look at reality. My suggestion would be for the community to continue on their efforts to put together a package, if you will, financing package, some examples of the size of skateboard park. Having community support and saying, well, yeah, Bay Road is great. The reality is this building right here runs about $250,000 deficit every year. So the question I would have is, well, where is the funding going to come from? How are we going to make that happen? So if the community can go ahead and have some more meetings and do a little more site research and come up with some feasibility studies on their own, that you can do it a lot faster, a lot more economical than our staff. Our staff is pretty well maxed out. And then when you have that ready, financing part of it, approximate size and all that, if you've looked here and feel that this is probably a good location, that's fine. Survey the area or, you know, just block it off. And then request a meeting with our landscape recreation committee, and I'm on that, and I'll be very happy to meet with you at that time. But now we can start to move forward with it, and let's see what reality really looks like.
I think that's exactly what I was saying. Our committee's going to get together and put all that. We've actually done a lot of research. We know how much the skateboard parks cost, what we want to do, and all that kind of stuff. So we're pretty much down the road. But yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to figure all that stuff out. Insurance costs, where, when, how. And then we'll come back and we can talk. And we'll work with you guys in between so then you can come back to your group and tell them what you found.
I like to add that by us being here tonight, we're just asking for you guys to allow us to do that, because we want to start in the right spot. Rather than just come in here and overwhelm you with 50, 60 people, signed petitions, and everything you asked right in front of your face. Because then it's just like we're bulldozing this thing, and that's not what we're going to do. So we want you to at least appreciate what we're doing at this point, trying to just get you guys behind it, and we'll give you everything you want.
Well, I can say at this particular point I'd be behind it, but I can't say do anything until it.
We know we can do that until we're doing the figures. We get that.
Or to him.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're the budget. Yeah, I think I'll speak for myself, but yeah, I was a skateboarder from about 7 years old till my mid-20s or 30s. I think that the camaraderie and what I learned athletically and the socializing and keeping out of mischief by having a skateboard park or an area that my friends and I could go grind on and spend some time with other boys and girls, a place that sometimes there was a adult supervision, but it was a great place. There was a lot of there was a lot of learning and growth going on, and I think that the team outreach part of this would be a great component to it. I hope it's not just limited to skateboards, because there's other types of things, but I'd be supportive of helping with your committee come up with some ideas, you know, outside of the support here. So thank you very much for all your attendance tonight. Anything, General Manager?
The request, I think, from the foundation was to convene the subcommittee to work on this jointly, collaboratively, if you will.
Well, I think what we're going to do as our committee is we're going to come back. Like I mentioned, there's a lot of things that need to be looked at. You know, where the funding's going to come from, construction, where it's going to go. Once we kind of have our own idea, then we'll come back to the committee, get your input, and then once we're all in agreement, and then you can come back to the board, you know, another board meeting and say, here's what we have.
So then so the ball's in your court for the time being.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it.
Is that what you were asking for? Isn't that what you were saying, Director Peace? I concur.
Thank you, Kevin, for your concurrence. great. I appreciate that. And again, that for considering these ideas for our community center. All right. Any further discussion on this item? All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item G2, use of town and equipment for local nonprofits. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board.
Thanks, you guys.
Good night.
Is she wearing a Chargers hat? If I get her one.
Is she not getting her one?
The next item up on the agenda is a request. Back in, what was that meeting? I'm sorry, what's my point, my spot here? On February the 8th of this year, both the Lions Club and the Foundation attended a meeting of the board and discussed the use of the community center for the Rocktoberfest event that would be taking place this October. At the meeting, there was some discussion regarding the use of town-owned assets, specifically the generator that we've provided historically free of charge to the Lions Club for years and years as a good faith and as a good neighbor. Since those events are free to the public and open to the public and for Discovery Bay residents. When we provide that piece of equipment, we do so generally, Virgil or myself, generally Virgil, but occasionally myself, have moved it on a Saturday or a Sunday to move it back and forth on our own time, which we're happy to do. At the time the conversation took place back in February, there was some discussion with the board about how much, whether or not we should be charging or implementing a fee schedule of some sort for the different organizations that want to use our equipment for those events that are open to the public and free of charge. In conversation with our legal counsel on this subject, it was his opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, Rod, that the way it sits now could be construed as a illegal use of public funds. So I went ahead and put together some options for the board of directors to consider this evening. One of which would cease the use of equipment for all types of events in all situations moving into the future. The second option, there can be certainly more than these four options. The second option would be to continue to provide the use of equipment free of charge, as has been past practice. However, that the town of Discovery Bay would be listed as an event sponsor and co-sponsor, and that our media, our logo, or our town seal would be included on any type of marketing materials that would be associated with the event. And I would recommend that be limited to one piece of equipment. The third option is that if there are additional pieces of our equipment are requested, we have a new light tower, we have a signboard, that then after the first one that there would be a fee charge, and a nominal fee charge, but that's obviously up to you. And then otherwise just to continue to provide the equipment, however, just establish a nominal fee structure. So those are the options that I threw together and discussed with legal and felt that they were reasonable to approach and to present to the board at this point in time, but it's certainly the board, it's certainly your action.
So, Director Rice.
One point of clarification, about 5 years ago, or 6 years ago, whenever Mr. Stovall was our attorney, we had this discussion with him to make sure that we weren't, in fact, providing town assets that were putting us into a bind. And his opinion came back that as long as it was going to an event that was benefiting the public and the organization was not profiting from the, and it was open to the public, that in fact we weren't at all jeopardizing any sort of legal benefits or anybody benefiting from any of the town's assets that would cause us a legal problem. Has that since changed then?
That has not changed. The generic statement that I think is in your staff report that Rick's referring to is we had just a very brief conversation at the board meeting of February 18th, where you said where the question was directed, if we allow people to use our equipment for free, is it a gift of public funds? The general answer to that is yes, but there's some exceptions to it. And you've identified the correct exception.
Okay.
No, I think that we have assets here. If we have community events that are open, free to the public, and we have an asset that we can assist in fundraising efforts or whatever from the Lions Club or the Foundation, I think it's a good use, and it's a good use of the district's assets. We don't need it during that, those periods of time, and if we can support the community, we should try to support them. I think option two is a great option.
Mr. President, if I might, the only caveat I'd give to that is it does depend on the type of function. Just because it's open to the public doesn't necessarily mean that the funds that are being raised for that particular event are getting contributed back to the public. You would assume that a community foundation or the Lions Club that's otherwise supporting Discovery Bay are putting those funds back into the community, but to loan or give a piece of equipment where the funds were going to an individual family for a memorial or something like that can be considered a gift of public funds. So we do need to be careful. Just because it's open to the public doesn't necessarily make it carte blanche not a gift of public.
I would agree with Director Lee. One of the, if it's a nonprofit Lions Club, the foundation, and it's a public function, I don't have a problem with it. I would want something in there about the condition of the equipment when it comes back, because we were paying to maintain it. We pay for the generator, we pay for the lights, we pay for all of it. And what I don't want to do is just see function after function after function and all of our equipment going out and in maintenance time when it becomes thousands of dollars that we're paying it. But I, on the other hand, I don't believe you can in good conscience charge the Lions Club or the foundation to use something for a community event that's nonprofit. I think we should vote for it.
First, I feel it's beneficial for the town to be partners with organizations in here. That's one of the reasons we purchased the community center, so we can show good faith and grow the community of Discovery Bay. I think we've had good responses from all those in town that are doing that. But I do appreciate what council said with regards to a fundraising event that maybe benefits like Seed or something that's not necessarily just community based. I think it should be something that's happening within the our community. Other than that, I think that kind of everybody's kind of on their own. And when they rent the community center for a function like that, there are certain fee structures they have to abide by.
Go ahead.
I don't disagree with being partners with the community. That's not a problem at all. I have a little different take on it. I do think that there should be just a nominal charge to cover staff time, to cover some fuel, to cover a little bit of wear and tear. And my thought would be $75 an hour per piece of equipment. The average, according to the staff report, is somewhere between $65 and $85 an hour if you rented one of those pieces of equipment for a day. Would be a minimum charge, just whatever hours are needed. But I think that nominal charge then solves the problem of whether it's a community event or whether it's a private function that we listen to. I'd be able to, the district should get some nominal fee, and that way they're entering into somewhat of a rental arrangement with them, which now in that document could take care of the problem that we might have with insurance, something happens, electrocution, or fire, or whatever. So I think it's a little more complicated as we get a little bigger in the community, and maybe these events come up a little more frequently. So that's my view.
Any other comments from the board? I have a comment. I think that the district assets should be deployed for community events at no charge. I think that we're a partner, and that I think as long as the community organizer or the person that, or the group that's putting on a public event, special event, that I would appreciate that there was some promotion or there was some acknowledgement that the town of Discovery Bay is a partner or a shared sponsor of the event. I think having our logo and having our presence out of these events raises our visibility and also provides a lot of goodwill to the community. These assets, such as a generator, do need to be exercised. They don't always sit around quite a bit, and I think that occasional use of these 10 times a year is probably a good use of the oil that's in them. So that's my 2 cents. That's 4 cents.
Forget it. Can I make a recommendation?
In talking with Rod,
a couple other questions came up with respect to pay-to-play events, that type of thing. If there's an event that you have to pay to get into and participate in versus an event that's open to the public free of charge. So what Rod's just suggested is maybe what we can do is come back at the next meeting with a draft of a policy that it makes it a little bit more cumbersome, but at least it sets the rules and what the expectations are and what our expectations are and what their expectations would be.
I just have a question for Mr. Cerullo, who's with the Lions Club in the back room. If you were to, is there any difficulty with naming the town as additionally insured in your, because you have insurance that covers every event that you put on. I believe the foundation does also. Is there any charge to name, since there's equipment from the town involved, to name the town as additionally insured to make sure that we're covered?
We can do that. We have not been doing that, but it's certainly something.
It's just another name on a document, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that might be, there are pieces that may address some of your concerns with regards to liability, if we're named as additionally insured for the amount of the equipment that we have on site. If that, you guys probably have the same thing, right, Jim?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm comfortable in where we're moving forward with all this.
We just like joint events, so that's what I'm looking at.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, and just as a general comment, I have no problem with paying fees. When I got the original bill, I said, yeah, as time moves on, I guess this is very reasonable. And I thought that the fee structure was reasonable. Didn't have a problem with it. Then I got thinking, I said, wait a minute. You know, this has always been a cooperative effort. We work with the town works with us, and I'd like to see that extended as long as possible. We like to work with the town.
Dave, let me ask you a question. As far as using the generator, you guys have the capacity there. You got that generator. I know you guys have trucks, you all the floats, and the. Do you guys have the capacity to pick up the generator on the days you use it?
I would prefer not to, just because it's not our equipment.
Okay. Yeah, I'm only asking. That's not a good idea.
I'm only asking that because I didn't agree with Bill that we would charge a little bit. I mean, you're taking a man off the job to come.
Generally speaking, I mean, Virgil does it probably 90% of the time.
Virgil does it all the time. He does it.
I do it. Yeah. If he's not there, I do it.
So, and we normally get it right before the event, and Virgil takes it away right after the event. So that it's not
in the policy, the only time that would be problematic is if Virgil's not available and I'm not available. I'm leaving Bernie, he's not available possibly, that we would have to bring in somebody like Aaron to do it on a call-out basis, and maybe in the policy. And I don't think that has happened but once in the last few years, so it's not like it happens regularly.
So that's the policy you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe drafts so that we could have a discussion of the policy that you guys are thinking about, and
yeah.
You know, one with some fees, one without, a combination or something.
All right, we'll turn to that discussion. On to item, any clear staff?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Item G3, award of contract to COP and Associates to conduct a classification and compensation study. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Back in late 2010, early 2011, we have conducted, a classification and compensation study shortly after my arrival here with the Town Discovery Bay. At that point in time, we established benchmark positions, salary ranges, and comprehensive job descriptions that remain in place today. In November, I believe it was in October or November of last year, I remember Director Leet was in the audience. He was a candidate at the time, so I don't remember the exact timing of it. But I brought this item before you at that point in time. and the board wanted to wait a little bit longer to do it. Generally, they're done every 4 to 5 years. That was a 4-year time frame. We're in the fifth year now. And what I would like to do is to have the board authorize Coffin Associates to do an updated classification and compensation study. As you are aware, I've lost one of our managers this year due to salary reasons. Recently lost another one due to salary. I found out this afternoon in discussing this with one of my staff members that I have two other staff members who I feel are critical to the operation being recruited by outside agencies. I don't want to lose either of them, and I feel that it is the time now to move forward with this classification and compensation study. It will come before the board a number of times over the next few months if you approve it. And I would be looking towards probably a January implementation date, January, February, depending on how long it takes. It's a very comprehensive process that takes place. Every person is interviewed, every job is assessed, and each job description would be reevaluated, whether the individual is working in class or out of class, whether they should have a different title change, that sort of thing. It's an independent outside assessment of that. And so I'm looking for board support on that this evening.
Just a clarification, didn't we go through a reclassification, but I could have sworn it was less than 5 years ago. I thought we set up a classification structure maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and we went over and you had to move people around in those classifications.
We have added one or two job positions into the position schedule,
okay,
but we have not done a classification study or a compensation study since early 2011.
And you don't do that talking to other CSDs out there and all the transparency data that's out there?
It's a very complicated and comprehensive process. It's very, very time consuming.
All right. I went on a couple of websites just to be curious on how things are out there on CSDA, and they've got a lot of information on their website and on the CSDA Association. And then I went on I went to all the different districts locally, the ones that you had used for your classification study previously. It seems like there's a lot of public data out there available, and so it's surprising that we have to spend over $1,000 per employee right now to figure that out.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, sure.
Being an elected official in the city of Fremont, and looking at all the different districts and cities and towns that they evaluated just in that area, this is not uncommon. And I would agree with the manager that in order for us just to go on and take some information from this district or that district or this district, there's not that unbiased feeling. I think that you need to have a professional company come in and take a look at our staff requirements. What is the work that we're asking these folks to do? And in an unbiased way, take a look at it and say, okay, well, what is the average going rate for those types of services in other communities and other areas that are about our size that perform those same kinds of things? And it does take a lot of work. And now that takes a look for us into the future. Now we have a good feel for what's coming down the road. They're taking a look at economic things that are going on right now on a daily basis, forecasting what's going to happen in the future. So I know it sounds like a lot of dollars, and when I first ran across this issue many years ago, I go, why? I own my own business. I'll make a decision on who gets paid what. Well, it's a little different in the public sector. And I want to make sure that our employees are compensated fairly and that they feel they're compensated fairly because they've had a professional company come in and interview them so that this company knows what that job description is and what type of workload they have and compare that to other areas. Because it's very difficult to run a small organization when you lose a person or two every year and then have to retrain for that position. It actually costs us more money to do that. So I can't say right now whether people are being paid more or less than they should be, but I certainly would welcome somebody to come in and advise us along those avenues, and then we've got a good, clear conscience of being able to help make decisions into the future. You know, we could take their advice, we could modify their advice or whatever, but now we're making a good logical explanation instead of relying on the manager, and now we're all focused on him and pushing him. And why'd you do this? And how come you don't do that? You know, we don't want to get into that kind of a situation. I think he needs a professional tool to help guide us to assist the employees in the district.
I have lots of comments, but I'll keep it brief. Throughout my entire career, I spent 35, 40 years managing consultants that did this work for me. And the fact that we waited 5 years is time. And it's not as easy as going to the websites of various agencies and looking at what they do, because none of them are like the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services. And as Director Keith said, having somebody from the outside look at it, this company, I'm very well aware of them, I'm aware of the people that they have on their proposal to work on the project, and it is a very professional organization. They're going to make, the report will be given back to this district, and then we can make the decisions. There's no decision made from the report, they're going to provide you data, but then we can make data-driven decisions, not assumptions and not how it looks from my seat as running a business or doing whatever we do in our lives, but have somebody look at it from the outside that can take a very laser-like look at what this organization is, how it relates to other organizations, and what is the market in terms of compensation, which is total compensation. It's not just salaries, it's everything. So I think the time is now to do this. This is a study. It's not authorizing anything to change, but it will allow this board to have accurate data from which it can make decisions. Because the economics of this district are very different than the economics of other districts. So we're going to have to look at it from what this district's revenue and expense model looks like. So anyway, I would support this, and I'd be happy to make a motion at the appropriate time for the staff recommendation.
When we did this a few years ago, the company that did the study came in and they brought us information from exactly where Chris is talking about. They went to the municipalities around us. They did exactly what you're talking about. Every piece of information they gave us was based on other organizations our size or close to our size, or maybe a little bit bigger. And to me, using the saying that if we don't do this, we're going to lose our employees, you're going to lose them anyway. There's nothing in doing a rate study that keeps any employee. Everybody recruits good employees. If you have a company and you're looking for an employee and you know the Discovery Bay's got a fantastic finance manager, you're going to go after her. And if she says, I'm making $150 a year.
They have been going after her.
And they're going to keep going after her. They're going to go after her. If she quits, they're going to go after her replacement. They're going to go after you. They're going to go after any one of them. You can't say that we'll just keep raising everybody, because that will stop people from trying to recruit them. We've been through this before. A couple months ago, we had a woman make a presentation to us, and we turned it down for doing a study, and now it's back on here. I don't want to hear, to me, that if we don't do this, our employees are all going to leave. Our employees have a great schedule. They've got great benefits. I think they're paid very well, and they're treated wonderfully here. It's not like this is a horrible place to work, and to use the yelling fire in a movie theater, they're all going to quit if we don't do the study. I don't want to hear it.
If I may respond to some of those comments.
Go ahead.
It was done in 2011, and the board at the time, the sitting board at that time, established salary rates at the bottom level of 2009 salary ranges for comparable agencies.
And then okay? We caught up.
That was 2009, the bottom level of 2009. People have come here and they've stayed here because of a couple of things. One, for many, it's close to home. Okay. Money's not always the motivating factor. It's about recognition. It's about acknowledgement. A lot of the staff is here because they buy into the fact that they're making a difference. And that may sound hokey and corny and everything else, but the fact is, this staff of 15 works their tail off. They've accomplished so much in the last few years, and you all acknowledge it, and you all know that. The reason they're able to do so is because you and myself let them think freely to come out and give ideas and make suggestions and recommendations. We don't micromanage them. They're talented, and I appreciate those talents as much as you do. But I can tell you, it is time to do the study. I apologize if I'm being, you know, the sky is falling, Director Simon, but the fact of the matter is it's an appropriate thing to do at this point in time. I know that this action tonight, if it is not passed, will cost jobs.
Do you not have a sense of the market and what other municipalities are? Are you saying we're not competitive right now?
We are absolutely not competitive.
How do you know that?
Because I know that, for example, one of my employees who earns about $50,000 a year starting salary in a neighboring agency, at an entry-level position that that person is in, is $65,000 a year for the exact same job. My guy's got 5 years' experience. That's the entry level for the same position. And that's a neighboring agency.
My question is, how does this board know that we're paying our employees?
That's fair. That's for him. That's for the general manager to bring us.
But that's what he's asking to do. That's exactly what he's asking to do, in a professional manner.
He proposes the pay raises.
Right, but you've got to have justification for those. And we need a an analysis to help us, the board, see what is out there.
We have access to all that.
Well, who's going to put it all together?
I would say staff would.
Well, it's more complicated than that.
Why is it more complicated than that?
You need to have an unbiased interview of our employees to find out exactly what they do on a daily basis. Someone outside of staff that isn't, there's no camaraderie. The problem that you have of asking the manager to go through all this is exactly what we're going to have now. He's going to make it, if he has to be done, if it has to be done that way, he brings it back to us, and then we're going to second guess it. We don't want to second guess. We want to have a professional company come in and say, here's the ranges, here's where you are, here's where your actual employees are, and here's some suggestions, and now we've got data.
That's all public access.
We don't know the market.
But you're not supposed to.
Right.
Staff should. And my question is if you have a person who's a landscape manager in a mountain house,
it's not,
and you find out the landscape manager makes $75,000 a year, and you're going to compare that to our landscape manager, you don't sit down and say, well, what do you think you're worth? What do you think, John? If you're the landscape manager, that's what you make.
Right. But that landscape manager at Mountain House might have different duties than a landscape manager here. Well, and his hours might be different. His compensation for insurance might be different. His vacation pay might be different. You've got to analyze all those things. And then you got to take a look at landscape manager Tracy. And what's the job description in the Tracy guy? So that everybody, just because you go title doesn't mean you're going to get the same wages. It depends on the job that you're doing and the size of the district and the amount of workload that you have.
That's not what they wrote in the study last time.
Well, let me ask this to clarify. Is that the types of things that this professional report would bring?
Yes, and it would also include an evaluation of each employee's current job duties to make sure that they are still doing the jobs that the classification that they're in. So, for example, when we did this 5 years ago, the consultant that I used, she was actually a colleague of mine that I brought on out of Southern California to do this, and she ended up going through each and every, interviewed each and every employee, spent significant amounts of time on it, each and every employee, but remember then we didn't have anything established. There was no procedures, no policy, there was no compensation plan in place at that point in time. So that was all established. So it takes a look at each and every employee. Each employee is interviewed. They are asked a series of questions based upon what they do and what their role is and that sort of thing. That is then taken back by the consultant and evaluated. The consultant then goes ahead and takes, we establish what are called benchmark positions. Those benchmark positions are probably going to be an admin, someone in finance, a landscaper. There's a handful of benchmark positions. Then they go out and they survey the different public agencies. And they don't do that by looking at individual, going on people's websites. They actually send out those benchmark surveys to each of those public agencies that this body, the five of you, have determined to be our benchmark agencies. We'll come to you and we'll say, these are the agencies we feel are the benchmark agencies. There'll be a conversation, discussion about it. They will then go out and evaluate and send those surveys to those benchmark, to those agencies that they feel, that you feel are most comparable to what it is that we do. So, and some agencies might have benchmarks and some agencies might not. So it's a delicate balance. It is an independent, and that is what is one of the most critical components of this.
You're saying that all the CSDs and the association all do the same process, that they hire a consultant, or they don't go back to the last report, and the last consultant asks them for an update? I do that all the time in my business.
The consult that I'm recommending, Coffin Associates, is one of CSDA's preferred consultants. They are one of the companies that are used regularly by a number of CSDs. Public agencies. What was the question?
I asked about the previous report and an update of that report.
That report was done on a very, the consultant never came here, I can tell you that. That report was done, I did not ask for a final report. I brought it to you in pieces because it was less expensive to do it that way, and she was willing to do that. This is more of a comprehensive assessment. But what I did 5 years ago was an initial class and comp study to at least get us in the game, if you will. And this is a much more comprehensive one.
Sure, you can look at this proposal too. I mean, you've got, they're over the top. They're proposing 132 hours of professional time to do this. Now, if you're gonna ask our staff, who are not professionals in this area, to try to do this work, multiply those hours, and then to take away from their time doing what they should be doing. And also you've got sort of, you know, they're looking over their own shoulder. I'd rather have somebody from the outside come in here, take an objective look, provide meaningful data. It's not hearsay, it's not something I grabbed off the internet, but it's actual, real, viable, actionable data. And let's get on with this.
I have a question of legal counsel. How many agencies does your firm, public agencies, does your firm kind of represent? Ballpark,
in the middle
plus
of
50.
Huh? Pardon?
50 plus.
Okay. Do a majority of those organizations do this type of review every 4, 5, 6 years for employees?
Any agency of this size or larger does. We've got some reclamation districts that have an employee. So we've got quite a few reclamation districts, and we've got half the reclamation districts in the county are in the valley and the delta. We've got some small CSDs, we've got some small special districts. They tend to steal reports from the city or the county and use their reports, but they also match classifications along the lines of that as well. But every public agency that I represent does this at some point.
So if your agency has 8, 9, 10 employees or more, this is the type of work that everybody does.
This is fairly common. It's not a necessarily a legal issue. I appreciate the question, but against better judgment of, I don't know, whoever John Stovall taught me forever ago, I'll go ahead and insert my neck into the ring. And I was present and part of council that did it for Mountain House with the same agency, and you know, I'd encourage you to look at the report that they produced. One of the things that I think is missing, and you know, you've obviously identified it right, is there are no two agencies alike. So you cannot get on a website and pull up another CSD, even if they had the exact same makeup and model that you had, and even if they had the exact same classification you do, because economics are different. Every time you drive 10 miles plus, you've got a different economy, you've got a different number. And what employees unfortunately do is they look at it and they go, huh, they're making $100,000 more than I do, I'm going there. Well, it's not exactly comparing apples to apples. What this company does, unique to most of the other class in compensation, is they're going to give you an evaluation of why there's a difference. And they're going to help you understand as to whether or not you need to make a change in your compensation or your classification, or whether you shouldn't. And they're going to give you a percentage of deviation on why there's a difference between an exact like jurisdiction that may be 20, 30, 40, 100 miles away. And so that's the really unique character about this entity and this report and what they did with Mountain House, is because everybody looks at it and goes, well, there's nobody else like Mountain House. Well, they pick some other baseline benchmark jurisdictions, and then they tell you why they're deviating and why there may be a dollar an hour difference. And that helps you make a decision and helps him make a decision as to whether or not there should be a compensation adjustment or not. And for Mountain House, if you look at it, for Mountain House, several went up and several went down as a result of the classic compensation. So just my two cents unsolicited.
One of the things we brought up at this point, this is a smaller organization, because this is a very small organization. You can't rely on titles. So looking up information on the website doesn't provide you with really any information at all, because you don't know what, if you have a title that's similar to one organization or another, the duties are totally different. Yeah. I've seen that organization after organization. People try to do, you know, I saw in the newspaper somebody's hiring somebody. You know, why am I not getting paid that amount of money? Well, it's real simple. It's all different.
But, you know, on the other side of the coin, when we got into doing benefits, the first time we had that discussion, and you based it solely on what other organizations were getting around us. When we did the last pay raise, when you brought us the first series of pay raises, which you based it entirely on what they were getting paid around us. Here's what they're getting paid Tracy, here's what they're getting paid Stockton. Now, we're looking at, it doesn't matter what they get paid around here. They're just going to interview our employees, but they think they're worth more, we should give them more. If you have to base it on something, you have to take it, this job pays X amount of dollars. I know that if you go into Tracy, this company's not going to be allowed to interview Tracy's employees. Then I get to sit down and do a comprehensive interview and say, what do you do? What hours do you go home? What weekends do you work? They're not going to do that. This job's a 40-hour week job plus overtime. You get benefits, you get this. This is what it pays in Tracy. This is what it pays in Stockton, Mountain House, Antioch, blah, blah, blah. And this is what we think you should pay your employees. That's what it's going to boil down to. I've done this before. I work for a company called Auto Focus with 20 dealerships. They did this every 3 years for $100,000. And every 3 years they come back and they say, well, he should get 50 cents an hour more. He should get a dollar an hour more. This manager should make this. And we changed all that. And it never stopped us from losing a single employee, not one. Because as soon as you raise them, they wanted more.
Isn't that exactly what we're doing here? This year is
But that's my point. We're going to do a study that's going to go out and look at the organizations, municipalities around us, and make their recommendations.
No, it's more complicated.
Tell me, explain it to me.
We just did.
You did, but it didn't make any sense to me. You said they're not going to interview our employees.
Yes, they are going to interview our employees.
That's my point. So they sit down with Joe Smith and they say, how many hours a week do you work, Joe? I work this. Mm-hmm. What days are you off? Do you work weekends?
Right.
They don't get to go into Mountain House to interview their employees and see who does the exact same thing. They just go get to find out what they pay the employee. They're not going to interview their employees.
They don't interview their employees. They interview Mountain House.
But they're not going to say, okay, let's see, we've got 50 employees. This one goes home at 4 o'clock, he goes home at 5 o'clock. You can't
do that. That's not how this works.
I agree it's not how it works. It works on this job pays.
Well, that's why you can compare a lot of dealership to the community services.
Anybody that hires management and hires employees, you should be able to, if you hire somebody in this private sector or this sector, you pay them. And you pay them based on what other organizations are running.
But we have to find out what that is. And we don't know that.
I think it's pretty easy to find out.
Well, I suggest you take 132 hours of your time and donate it to the town of Discovery.
I don't think it takes 132 hours.
I'll bet it's going to take you 232 hours. It's not even close.
Well, what's the cycle, Rick, now? I mean, you're asking us to put a policy together, it sounds like, about doing this. And what is your policy? No,
I'm not asking. Best practices is
5 years.
5 years. Best practices is 5 years.
Okay.
That is that every public agency I've worked in, it's between 4 and 6 years,
okay,
regularly, routinely.
So, and I propose that if it's a 5 year cycle, then that'll be 5 years next year, and we start next year on that.
We started in 2009.
I get it.
Chris, it will be 5 years next year, and I'm looking at it.
2016-17 will be 5 years.
From 2010.
You just told us it was 2011.
It was January of 2011. It started in 2010. It was finished in January of 2011.
We adopted
this would start.
When did we adopt the information?
In January of 2011.
Okay.
So we have to start ahead of that.
All right. I mean, I think that like a 5-year cycle is important. I just think it's really expensive.
I don't see that expense at all. They tell me retrain one employee. You've spent $15,000 in that year because of the three or four other people that had to get off the job they were doing.
Maybe
come over and train
get, maybe get in that period.
Get up, who gets to
go? The new guy is up there.
Huh?
You're talking about people attrition here.
Right.
Usually if the market prevails, you're going to be competitive once that person comes in, the new guy comes in, and you can make a fair offer.
How do you know what it is? Where are you going to go? If we've got a study, that study tells us for the next 5 years, here's where we pay. This is what we're paying. Somebody leaves, that's
Rick has a salary range right now.
Correct.
He knows the salary
range. But the salary range right now is based on 2009.
I believe
that would be good, general,
because
the market is way different.
So it's kind of like here to here to there. From there to there. It makes sense.
You better stop and wait until you don't raise your pay. You don't want to go to the fly business. You never lost employees in the state of Washington. They didn't quit. I didn't hardly lose any employees because they paid us extremely well.
We don't lose a ton of employees either.
We don't need it. We don't have a ton of employees. You got 10, 15 employees. You lose one employee, that's 10% of your workforce.
Well, this is not going to stop you from losing employees.
Well, it's going to help us make a determination on what is fair and reasonable for these employees in the town of Discovery Bay to be paid. That's what it's going to help us do.
Okay, let me ask you another question. Why did we not get more than one bid to do this?
I did. I had two of them. I brought them both to you last year. There were two of them. There's not a lot of companies There's not a lot of companies that are out there that do this. It's a very specific function. It's very tedious and time consuming. I got proposals from the two of the ones that came, where references and referrals came back, and COP was by far the cheapest of the two.
Least expensive.
It was the least expensive of the two, by I want to say $10,000. And they had just come off completing the Mountain House one, and they were familiar. They're familiar with the region, the neighborhood, the agencies, and I don't know what Mountain House's fee was, but I'm certain there was more than this.
So they already have the data compiled.
They have portions of the data compiled. They don't have our data compiled.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I'm truly conflicted. I'm truly conflicted, only from the standpoint that I want our employees to know that we care about who they are, what they are, and the job they do, and the fact that we care, we want them to continue to work. I think, I mean, I've been 8 years on this board. Mark outlasted me by a couple, but you know, I feel like we're all kind of family, and I've watched family members come and family members go, and that's going to happen within a family. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be fair. It shouldn't be because of us that they're leaving. I see both sides of the coin. I'm truly conflicted. I'm also conflicted. I've worked for a public agency for 6 years, and nobody's ever come to me and done this. So not all agencies do this. But I think it's the only reason I haven't been involved in this because I worked for the largest agency in the state, and therefore it's being done at a level internally above my level, and I'm sure that we're being evaluated, and we're just given a straight 3%, unless we're broke, and then we don't get anything. So, you know, I can't really use my point of reference in my employment, which you'd think I could as a public employee, to try to come up with, you know, I see both sides of the coin. I'm truly conflicted. I think, you know, I don't want I don't want to make it sound like I think it's worth spending $15,000 to make people believe we care in them. I hope that they would think that we care about their employment, about who they are, about the fact that we feel they're being treated fairly, not based on whether we spend $15,000 on our evaluation. But I also feel that I personally don't know. I'm just truly conflicted. I am truly conflicted. I personally do not know, you know, what's fair and what's not fair within our payroll structure. I'm not that experienced with what's going on. But see, the other thing have we been giving raises across the board? I mean, you do evaluations, you bring them to us. Some got raises, some didn't, based on performance.
Speaking of evaluations, I signed about 5 or 6 of them today. A number of the staff is at the maximum. They've reached the top step. There is nowhere to go. So they're working and they're not getting any increases. Others are still within the ranges and continue to get an increase.
But see, that's the way it's supposed to work, though. That's what the classification is all about, right? Not reclassifying them so they can start again and make more money. I mean, at least at the state level, I have a classification. I'm an AGPA.
Yeah.
I reach the top level.
That's all I get.
That's it. I get 3% a year after that.
Right, but see, you get 3% after that.
The state's not bankrupt, but you're right.
Right.
I mean, I didn't get it for 3 years.
Do our employees get 3% after they reach their max?
I don't know.
No, you can't. And the whole reason of this study is to find out whether our ranges are fair and reasonable. Those ranges were set based on 2009 and went up from here.
That's the part that I'm a little confused about, and I don't want to get into a long discussion with you. Right. Only because, why would it, if we were within those ranges then, and they moved up in their classification, why would we now be out of those ranges?
Because there's a match. You took 2009, you went from 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's the range.
Yeah.
And they moved up.
Right.
They can't go any further, and we're now looking at 2016, 17, 18, 19.
Well, that takes, increasing their pay based on an index.
Right, there is one.
Then that's a problem.
That's why we need to know whether, we need to verify whether those ranges we have now are still fair and reasonable, or whether those ranges need to be moved up based on the economic
trends. Can I leave early tonight? Can I leave early tonight?
Right after the vote.
I'm just being honest, guys. I'm truly, I'm seeing both sides of the coin.
What's our total budget on salary.compensation?
Do you know what our total compensation budget is? No, off the top of my head. Yeah, I don't have the budget for it. I can tell you. I can say that compensation as a percentage of operating budget is very small, comparably. The 2009 number came about because
I just suggest we put two more. I mean, we could talk. We could pound this horse until. How much time? 8:30. Yeah, I think we've discussed all we need to discuss.
Personally, I have a staff recommendation that we approve the whole associate's compensation.
Second. Discussion. Public comment?
Sweet, yes.
I would abstain from this vote. I'm conflicted.
It's been moved and seconded. We got a call for it. I mean, there's got to be a vote, Chris.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Aye.
Was that 4-1?
It was 4-1 abstention. 3-1-1. And
I think this is going to be one of the best decisions this board has made in reference to our employees for here out in the future for the next 5 years. So you'll be very comfortable with that. Yeah.
Well, no, we went through this before. It's not. This is not new. It's
right,
just,
right. But it's,
I
it's
just,
old. Now we're starting fresh.
Okay. We're starting fresh. Okay.
I've already voted for it, so let's move on.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
But I will say, I was very conflicted, but I want to be fair to our employees. That's really why I voted for it.
That's why I abstained.
Right, exactly.
But you feel what I'm saying. I'll just be clear too, is that I am definitely satisfied with the level of performance of all of our employees in the district, and
I just want
appreciate their loyalty and all the work that they do. The reason that we don't have other bids or other proposals conflicts me. And so, as proposed, I didn't see another package here. Okay. So, move on. Thank you. All right. Item H, any informational items?
None? Good.
Okay. President's report, director's comments. Any director's comments?
Hugh kind of covered. I will say that I did go to the ECCFPD meeting as usual on Monday night, and I just told their board of directors, which was a little slim. There was a couple guys missing. Both the president and vice president weren't there, but just said, you know, our letter was being brought to you in the context of we want to work together with you. Don't read it any other way. I mean, we want to work together with you to make the district.
Have they received it?
No, they had not received it yet. It was it just didn't get there in time. So I told them to expect it. And when they read it, please take it in the context that we want to work with you to make the district successful. But we have an obligatory, that we are obligated to our constituents to represent their best interests. And we're also obligated to protect the assets that they've entrusted us with, which is basically the assets of the town. And that's how we're looking at this whole situation. So we want to work with you guys. We've cast our vote in favor of the assessment, and we want to move forward. That's it. That's my report.
Any other directors' reports, comments?
I got it.
All right. On July 16th, I attended the BUSD meeting, and they're wrapping up their bond refunding and their series C issuance. It looks like with them rolling into some new bond programs that they're going to be able to have significant savings, maybe $2 million over the next 20 years. So good job with the BUSD. So thank you. Any other general manager's reports?
I just have two items. One I already mentioned. Hopefully, Carol will get the website live in the next 24 hours or so. It is a work in progress. Not once we go live.
Maybe those boats start moving when it.
Some of the links may not migrate too well. We've been testing it. It's working. We're hoping that they will migrate once the old site is migrated to the new site. There is a caveat, and there is one of the links on the front page indicates that if they are broken, we'll fix them. If we miss them, let us know. Just to remember, the meeting on August the 19th has been canceled, and I appreciate that very much, as does Carol, as she takes her daughter away to college. And as a reminder, I will be out of the office beginning tomorrow for the next 2 weeks. And next week, I will be completely offline. If you need to get a hold of me, I will check in. Do my best to check in with Carol each day.
You going to be bow riding?
Will not be bow riding. Okay. Checking in with Carol each day. And so hopefully we'll get in touch with you if anything comes up.
I had a quick question. We spoke a while back, just kind of informally, about the possibility of trying to get some recycled water. And I know we had talked about possibly looking into a tanker truck or a combination of different types of things. Do you have any information along those lines?
Interesting you asked that. I had a conversation, electronic conversation, with John Amaral with Kaufman Company today, as well as with Virgil yesterday or this morning, I don't remember, regarding the possibility of using. They're doing grading out there in Discovery Bay West out in the lakes for their new developments that haven't been, they haven't started pulling building permits yet, but they're putting in the underground infrastructure and getting the grading in place. So they are using a water tanker, and I suggested to them that maybe they can go over to BB or over to Iron House, and for $10 for 4,000 gallons worth of recycled wastewater, they can fill up a huge water tanker, and if they can do that, we can partner with them on that in that area. It might be helpful for us to get some water in some of our turf and landscape areas. So that's where we are with that. He's working on it.
So I guess in your absence, as a staff person, I can follow up to see about getting a tanker over so we can water some trees.
Carol, can you drive a truck?
Yes.
All right. She's from Kansas.
John's comment to me was still working on it. on how we can do this. Thanks for the info. I'll be in contact if we are able to find a workable solution. So he will get an email response that I'm on vacation and with the direction. But I'll send him an email tonight to go into contact Virgil.
Yeah, I don't want to keep this thing too bad, but recycled water, and we've got brown taking place. I'm more concerned about the trees and the bushes than I am with the grass. Is that a private subcontractor that they're using, or is that a Hoffman truck and a Hoffman employee?
It's a private subcontractor.
Right, so if we were able to just get a hold of that private contractor and talk to him direct and say, well, what do you charge Hoffman Company to spread water? What would you charge us if we give you, get you the water for no charge? I mean, just go along that conversation, and we could let our staff figure out how to get it out of the truck and onto the areas that need it.
I am sending him an email as we speak.
Thank you.
Sorry, any other management?
Are we still on the manager's report?
Yes, sir.
Can you get us, I was just curious, you mentioned Hoffman. What's going on with Hoffman lawsuit?
What is that?
And Matt, you guys are timing. Your timing is impeccable.
Yes, there's a bug in your office.
I guess so. I actually got a call this or an email this morning from Jim
Hildebrand
with Hoffman Company, and I've been reaching out to him because the ball is in their court. And he emailed me today saying he was apologizing for not getting back to us, and that he's finally ready to go. We've been bugging them and bugging them and bugging them, and so we'll see what they do. But they are hopefully, I think we're all, as soon as they come back with their approval of the overall agreement, which will be kind of a global agreement, it'll come to you guys. And I know I'm really close on our end. I know that the deal points are really, really close. It's just getting them up their structure to get approval. And I think that that's what Jim is kind of working on delicately, if you will.
I had occasion to talk to Jim earlier today on a non-district matter, but asked the question, hey, we haven't heard anything from you lately. What's going on with this thing? And he goes, oh, it's my fault. I've been busy with some other stuff. I've been passing some other jobs. And I think that's what prompted the email to Rick. He promised he would follow up. And guess we're anxious just to get the whole thing done. And so I just think that they're going to put a priority back on it. I think it kind of took a back burner to other. We're not the only issues he has, and so I got the impression that, and he accepted responsibility for the fact that it's been stagnant.
And Rick, you're saying this is going to be a comprehensive, global type of we're not going to have any further issue after this?
Without getting into any legal conversations or discussions, it would be my desire that it be a package deal, if you will.
All right.
And I don't know how that's going to resolve itself. But
have you got any more response from the county regarding turning over the parks?
Have you heard anything?
No, we have not.
How long is this?
The fire department's in the exact same boat with us because they're trying to get ownership of the fire station here, and county council won't let them have it. It is. Their attorneys are, you can address it.
It's frustrating. I mean, that's all I can really say.
Is there a lack of resources on the county side, or is it just...
Personally, I don't think they care.
Ready.
Legal, I don't think county council's office is...
Does the board of supervisors have any influence over that?
She's been trying.
Glacial
speaker.
It's been
10
years.
Right. All right, moving on.
All right, cool. Thanks for the updates on that. Council?
Nothing further. I've already said too much tonight.
I think your input was valuable.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure three of you do.
Or two and a half.
At least two and a half.
We're still conflicted. I'm conflicted. We recorded everything you said.
John Stovall will have words with me, I'm sure, at some point in time.
All right. Any subcommittee updates?
No. I return on the 24th, and we will be having a water wastewater subcommittee data on the 26th in the afternoon. Carol will be
Friday.
Well, whatever the Wednesday is.
I won't be there.
August. Okay.
I will get back to the 27th. Oh, 29th. You're right. 26th. You're right.
29th is a Saturday.
We haven't had any, and any of our committees this last 2 months now.
Well, the water wastewater committee had last month.
And so we met last month, the water wastewater committee, and we, what I'm getting at is you, Director Simon and Director Lee will be getting an email, probably from Carol if you haven't received one already, to meet again as the finance committee on the 26th, that Wednesday afternoon, okay, with the financing team as well as our Bartle Wells team. Prior to that meeting, the water and wastewater committee will be meeting and having their regular meeting, but also on the same subject matter with respect to the financing team as well. Both committees, finance, met last month, or actually, yeah, last month, as well as water and wastewater, and spent a considerable amount of time discussing the financing options with Prager and Company, the consultant you approved moving forward with, and we also met Bartle Wells last week, so yes, they did. And we know the Recreation Parks Landscape Committee has not met.
Any report on how that's going?
Brian is going to be giving a report at the September 3rd meeting, I think it is, an update on what's going on since he's been here, the few months he's been here, he's ready to give the full report. We talked about doing it tonight, but one of the things he wanted to do was be able to finish his first cycle throughout the entire town with his crew. So
all right, that's great.
It's scheduled for September 3rd, I believe.
And the waterways guys, anybody talking to Rec 800? I'm talking to them about the weeds. Any update on that? Yeah, the weeds, another spring. I know
spring continues until September.
I had to come up to a little lake, and yeah, they said it wasn't dense enough. We have a property farm on the lake right now. All right. All right. Any correspondence we need to know about? All right, public records requests, future agenda items. I have a future agenda item. I think that Rick, we owe you a joint employee evaluation, and I'd like to have the board have a closed special meeting in first week of September.
I'm not opposed to that. I think Rick's doing a great job. But what I'd like to do, part of this evaluation of employees that we just approved, Doesn't that cover the general manager's level?
It'll cover his comp and classification, but it is an evaluation of his performance.
Correct.
It's not it's not dealing with his goals and that for the year. It's on our radar.
Yeah,
because at the last meeting we are
July 1st.
Yeah, at the last evaluation we have to prepare a new form for you. The form that we used last time, not everyone was happy with it, so there's a new form that we've got to work on and get that out to you. So there'll probably be a couple of meetings to get to.
I just want to be delinquent 6 months or a year like we were in the past.
Understood. We've been talking about it.
Rod and I actually were going to put it on tonight. In fact, we actually had it scheduled for this evening, but because of that wrinkle, we decided to hold it off to the next meeting. It's already going to be there.
So September's not a possibility.
It is.
September's a possibility, okay, for a closed session to deal with the form and see if you'd like the form and walk you through the process, and then from there.
Yep. All right. Any other future agenda items? All right. At this time, I'd like to close our agenda meeting.